Hello and welcome to episode 15 of Security Nation. I am your host, Kyle Flaherty. Today, talked to and you get to listen to Mr. Matt Hathaway. Matt and I sat down and actually talked about detections, deceptions, analytics, machine learning, all the different terms that are kind of thrown out there, but really boiled it down to what is useful for you as a security practitioner. What to look out for overall. And then we actually dove into a few deceptions, NetBIOS, poisoning, turning on the emit functionality in your Windows environment, just some simple things that people can actually get started with right away to help their detection and their deception or their analytics, whatever you want to call it, and focused on how that all works and maybe how it should work. So enjoy this conversation with Matt. Thanks.
You're listening to Security Nation with host Kyle Flaherty.
Yeah, I agree. My office smells like chicken wings. And that's the way I like to start a podcast overall. So,
did you start recording with that?
Of course I started recording with that. It's just the way things... need to go
flow.
Right, exactly. What is this, pod 5 for you?
I think so.
No, it can't be. 4?
So we did the original, Sim did Black Hat.
Oh, right. We did that quick Black Hat one, didn't we, with Nate? I forgot about that one.
Yeah, and then it was just the thrown together. I was in another office. We found Skype to work somehow one.
Oh, you, Eric, and I, right, yeah.
Well, I thought it was just two of us.
No, the me, Eric, and
oh, that was the...
you were visiting.
Oh, right.
The only live
okay.
podcast you did that
right,
with.
Right.
In person, I mean.
Yes, before I've been...
So yeah, this is number
before five. I relocated to Boston. So, yeah, for those familiar with the podcast, they probably already recognize Matt Hathaway's voice. Wouldn't that be amazing? But actually, we're going to be doing a few podcasts together. They may end up being out of band, if you will, not necessarily on the Thursday when we usually publish Security Nation. But we're actually going to be talking a lot about incident detection and response. I think it's timely with things like National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. We have a lot of stuff going on about that on the blog. And just everything that's going on in the news right now, kind of focusing around that. But here's where I wanted to start, because it's something that for the last 4 years, at least of my career, being in kind of the user behavior analytics realm, you hear analytics, you hear machine learning, we hear artificial intelligence, we hear, you know, all of these different types of things. But you had a blog post recently that I thought the headline was good of, you know, analytics by any other name, and then you dive a little bit more into what that means. But what do analytics mean to you? In security, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think they originally... a lot of people thought they knew it had a definition before it did. I'm finding the more people I talk to, they absolutely think analytics means anomaly detection very, very frequently.
But that's not a bad thing necessarily. If that's all they want to find, right?
To have a definition is great.
Okay.
Like if that's what it's getting people.
Yeah.
But then it becomes a challenge to say, so what else do we have if we don't only have analytics, if we don't only have anomaly detection? How do you describe the other pieces? You know,
mm-hmm.
like there are times and you know, we call them intruder traps, but deception absolutely is a value.
Right.
Because there are times, no matter how much data you have and how many anomalies you discover, certain actions don't generate their own behavior,
mm-hmm.
right? Or it just doesn't look anomalous because it's so common.
Right.
To try and draw that out, you have deception. You have various ways where you just have a fake file, a fake system,
right.
anything on the network or on a system, fake credentials in memory, things like that. But even in this case, to try and say, hey, is something out there listening, waiting for me to reveal I'm vulnerable as a system and respond back and be like, yeah, sure, I can help. Just give me your creds. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Windows systems do this. There's a few different protocols. NetBIOS name service is the most common one.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty easy to spin up the responder tool, and we hear from our pen testers a lot. They do it. We saw it in the write-up for the hack of the hacking team,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That Phineas Fisher is, this is one of my favorite tools on a Windows network.
Right.
I have access. I don't have any creds. How do I get some?
Yeah.
Just spin it up, wait for a system to respond. you say, yeah, I can resolve that name of that system for you.
Boom.
Then you have some creds from that system itself who's been logging in.
Yeah.
And so, like, using the endpoint agent that we already have out there that's analyzing what's running on a system, but to also send one of these messages to look like that vulnerable system and see, hey, somebody respond when I made up a system.
Yeah.
What do you call that? You know, it's not analytics anymore.
So I think, there's a couple things I want to talk about here. One is detection the detection deception kind of mode that's happening right now, because there's a lot of talk there. Obviously, folks like Anton Shavakin over at Gartner has been talking about this on his blog a lot and on Twitter. And there's other people, of course, who are talking about it. So then we have that. But then we have kind of, so is analytics a subset of detection? Does it all like go under the detection bucket overall? And really, that's all I should be concerned about. How I do it is...
It's a great question.
Right?
We don't...
Because I could use deception, I could use analytics,
I don't think they belong under detections.
Okay.
I think detections is a bucket that includes some types of analytics, right?
Yeah.
Like certain behavior change, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? Like if I suddenly start trying to log into 7 new systems today, like that's a pretty straightforward, that's worthy of an alert. That somebody is changing their behavior in a significant way that's either... It's at least noteworthy. Like, is it something they did wrong, or they just need to, were they compromised, whatever?
Right.
But then their analytics are like, every single time somebody sends a large file over the firewall, do you really want to alert on that?
Mm-hmm.
No, but it's relevant if I'm looking deeper into something, if I'm looking for...
So now, and last week we talked about words matter, definitions matter with Jen. Now we're talking about alerts. We were just talking about analytics. We were talking, like, rules.
Yeah.
There's all of these different types of things, like what, you know, what's a security pro to do when it comes to, and so that's where I'm like, I would love to figure out, where does it start? Does it start at a rule which really is just an analytic? It's just a question of your data. That's all it is, right? If this, then that type of thing. Then it has to go through different types of scenarios before it becomes an alert. That hasn't always been true, right? There's just been, it's especially in the SIM world or the traditional SIM world, it just triggered alerts whenever that happened. But this is where I think people get confused, right? Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, we got analytics, we got alerts, we got rules, we got...
Yeah, and words carry...
We got it all!
Words carry weight whether you want them to or not,
right?
Like, we avoided the term rules for a long time strictly because people pictured them being, I have 17 different criteria, I have to check a box in one of each areas... And then if it's exactly that pattern in the log line that I understand, it'll trigger. But we equate it all, like, you normalize everything and make it look like the same across any type of firewall out there, right? And then you try and put it in plain language for a user to read and the same structure. And then you would alert because you've now described that event as a behavior, what was performed.
Mm-hmm.
And still, purposely avoiding the word rule, in some ways, it's the same thing, but it's trying to be, like, relevant to various types of firewalls, various types of customers, the same sort of pattern to identify. And it's, what are you to do? Like, you have to juggle, and everybody has a different description for what that means.
Yeah.
I mean, in the end, it's got to be focused on what are you trying to detect?
Like,
what use cases do you have? I mean, that's how we've built out the technology.
Yeah.
It also makes it really tough to have, you know, to ever say like, hey, we're going to have the most.
Yeah, of course.
We're going to have 1,000.
Right. So that goes, all right. So now we're back to detection being, but we'll continue on. I think it's worth continuing that conversation, although I'm sure we could talk about it for a while. And I think the industry deserves to have clear definitions around each of these things.
Yeah.
And whether it fits neatly into, they're all detections or whatever it is, we could argue about that for sure. But you just mentioned, we have the biggest library of analytics. We see this all the time, thousands of analytics or hundreds or dozens a week added, all those different types of things. And I just often wonder, and I did this myself back in the day. And so I wonder if that's actually helpful or not when it comes to does the amount of alerts / analytics / rules / detections that you have actually matter, or is it the quality of the ones that you have?
I mean,
Or is it a little bit of both,
I guess. Very biased that I think it's quality, but yeah. You don't want five. That's not enough.
Right. So back to the great Jen Ellis last week. It's like porn. You know when you see it,
you
know, right?
You see enough.
Yeah. Right. You know, how big does the library need to be? Right. And that, I guess, is a continuous debate.
Yeah, that very much. But, like, if you really want to have a system that's – have a solution that's, you know, successfully detecting things, like, it also has to be assumed that sometimes – one's going to trigger too much across the customer base, and you know, the communication around that is important, but you just got to retire it. And it's the same thing. It's one of the biggest problems with a lot of threat feeds out there. A lot of the ones that have probably already kind of lost their luster is, you know, you get an alert on an IOC and it's, oh, it turns out that was from 4 years ago, this one's attack. And now that IP address belongs to a legitimate company in a different country. And all these, you need to be able to retire it, and over time, just realize this is not true attacker behavior.
That's an interesting. I don't think I've ever thought of the concept of retiring things. I mean, turning it off or whatnot. But the notion of retirement is actually a little bit more permanent. And the fact that I think it's a good thing, though. Like, I feel like all too often in security, at least, we don't retire anything.
Right.
And it just continues to trigger stuff. And we don't take the time to go in there and actually clean these things up and just get rid of them.
Yeah. Well, that's caused
a lot of the problems.
I know in the, you know, if there's a lot of turnover on a team and they have built tons of rules in their sim.
Right.
That becomes a huge problem. Which ones do we want to keep?
Right.
Because there's too many right now.
Right.
That's also, though, it's great when you can demote, like, the concept of saying, like, I still want to know when these occur to be able to explore them, but I don't want to get an email notification. I don't want to get a trigger, you know, in my software solution. I don't want to receive some note on Flowdock or wherever you have it triggering. But once I'm starting to dig in, I want to be able to know if that occurred.
Yeah.
Don't forget it all its existence, but I want to change the concept of what that means to me.
I wonder how many people know what Flowdock is. Who are listening right now?
That's a great question. Sorry.
Hashtag Flowdock.
Hashtag Flowdock. Wow, I don't want to advertise like that.
I
like it, but
I gotta use the video. I tried to do that when I did the / room last night. I need to try it from the desktop version.
So that was just supposed to be...
So as soon as you do... This is super interesting to the listeners. but it's like Slack has a lot of these type of integrations. If you do / room, it'll open up kind of a Google Hangout style room for up to four people.
Oh.
And so whoever's in that flow could then opt to get on the camera and chit-chat. So... because I wanted to do it.
And you unsuccessfully tried.
I unsuccessfully did it. The mobile version does not do that, which I don't know why I thought it would, but I had some high hope for it at all. So one thing you mentioned earlier and I wanted to get back to was you slipped an endpoint there. We've talked about kind of all the machine data, the log data, all of those types of things. Is it more about the data or is it more about the analytics or is it... You can't have one with the other because we constantly say, you know, you need – there's just certain data sources you need to detect the stuff that you need to get done.
Well, I mean, and this is, again, I just brought up the concept of retirement, but this bleeds also into what you'll hear from actual threat intelligence experts, not me.
Right,
but,
right.
People like Rebecca, they talk about retiring, but they also – the biggest key is context, right? And, again, words
– Rebecca
some
Brown.
Some words don't
– friend of the pod.
Yeah. I'm sure she is.
Single time friend of the pod. I need to get, we need to get that done.
Yeah. We need to get more behind that.
Yeah.
But context. And if that word doesn't mean enough, like you have an indicator and alert triggers. Well, what's this based on? What actually occurred? Why did we create that alert in the first place? Why would you want to know about this? Things like that for a detection across all customers. Threat intelligence, it's more like, where did we find this indicator?
Yep.
What was the source? What industry is that company in? When did they detect? What kind of attacker did they detect with that? That context is all very important. So that's data, right? It's this terrible moving line, I think, that originally just having the data was enough because it wasn't that much.
Yeah.
And now it's become there's way too much, so it has to be parsed and pushed through some sort of analysis, which you I would consider it analytics.
Right.
It's data
right.
that's been analyzed.
Of course, right.
It's
right,
an
right.
analytic.
Yeah. Which are just questions of the data.
Yeah.
Whether it's machine learning or whatever, just simple queries. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's analytics.
That's analytics. Right. There you go. We solved it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like having that context and being able to understand what occurred and just over time, like change what context you need. It's, you know, this concept of visibility. Like everybody, we need visibility of our network. We need endpoint visibility. We need this visibility. What's that mean? Well, it's not just a dump of all the data.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's failed.
Right.
That's just too much information for humans.
Just because you centralized it all and collected it all doesn't mean you can actually do anything with
right.
it.
Right. I mean, we keep hearing the same stat that we generate more data in a day than we used to in 5 years.
All that stuff. Yeah.
But whether that's true or not, it's just like it's an indicator that you just can't. Nobody can just look at a screen full of all the data.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I found it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No one's Neo. I wish. So cool.
I bet you do.
Yeah. I just want to know Kung Fu, like, super. You know?
Not all the work. Don't do all the work.
Yeah, I just want it to be plugged in the back of my neck and be like, boom, I got this.
Yeah.
Or, like, be an amazing pianist.
That's what, that came out of nowhere.
I just think that would be like a skill. Like when you're at a party or something, and someone just sits down and starts playing the piano like really beautifully.
Oh, you want to play PNE?
Yeah. Yes.
With the scrolling.
Yes. Oh, that's not a bad idea. Just pretend.
Yeah.
Right. I'll buy one of those.
Yeah.
That'll look pretty good. So, in that same blog post that you wrote earlier this week, you talked about a few different. Detections in general. You actually mentioned the NetBIOS one earlier around the name service poisoning stuff, and of course with your pop culture references, bringing in Terminator 4?
Three. I mean, come on.
Was there a fourth? There was a fourth, right?
Oh, there were five,
recently,
I think. Four was in the future.
Aren't they all in the future?
And the Terminator
itself
didn't realize it was a Terminator in the fourth one.
Oh, that's...
It was Salvation with... What's his name from who played Batman in the trilogy? Christian Bale was in the fourth.
Really?
Trailer. Yeah.
Is that before Batman? He did
great
that
question.
Afterwards?
I think it was like in the middle of the three.
He must have signed on to that like before
Probably.
Batman took off, because I cannot imagine him doing that.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. That premise gives me a little headache, I'll be honest. He was a Terminator, didn't realize he was a Terminator.
Well, he wasn't, but the character
was.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, so Christian Bale's not an actual Terminator, is what you're telling me?
Christian Bale's a human. I'm not going to blow the whole movie.
Breaking news.
By saying that.
All right.
Even though it's like 6 years old.
So okay.
Not really. Spoiler alert!
So detecting this this one in general, you go into it a little bit, but we were talking about it before we started recording of, you know, this is something obviously people can... should be looking for overall, whether they do it with a automated solution, you know, like ours or something like that. It's like, you got to go and look for this stuff, because it is something that people are, it's an easy way.
Yeah. And it's actually a quick resolution after almost all pen tests where this is used, or any sort of, you know, red teaming. If the team uses it, they're going to say, hey, the first problem is that you have systems on the network that are still sending out NetBIOS name service commands, like, hey, I have a request on here. They shouldn't be doing that. There's newer technology. And so identifying those systems is good for everybody.
Yeah.
But also, send one out. See what comes back.
Yeah.
And see if anything answers.
Right.
That's
easy
essentially
enough.
What we're doing periodically.
Yep. Right.
Just sending out on each network and seeing, oh, did somebody respond? Are they waiting for this?
Yeah.
Because it's pretty stealthy.
Yeah, and a lot of times, I mean, these are the simple things that people just don't get around to sometimes. And I thought the other thing you mentioned was the emit. I like saying that.
You like saying it that way?
Emit. And your whole point was like, just turn it on, because if you are Microsoft in any shape or form, you have it available to you right now. But for those who don't know what it is, what is it?
Yeah, so the exploit mitigation enhanced... No, sorry. Wow, I don't know. Experience toolkit is the 30E.
Okay.
I always forget on the second E, the third letter.
Experience toolkit, yeah.
Yeah, experience toolkit. So it has a series of very easy to exploit behaviors it blocks and prevents. And right. like some of it is never having a system run in this, with the same section of memory. Mm. Right? It's randomly assigned a section of memory that was different from the last time it booted up. That yep. used to be a very easy way to exploit an application. Others are like naming it a different way. I think it is one, I forget the details, but essentially all these different behaviors that it's not specific to an application. It's not like one vuln, but by making it harder and harder to for exploit writer to predict how this application will behave, to say like, well, I know it always is that section of memory, things right. like that.
Yep.
And like much more educated people on the topic could have described it in some of our Whiteboard Wednesdays. But Microsoft has been releasing this for, I think, 6 or 7 years to very little recognition because it's on their security blog.
It's free.
It's free.
Right.
Completely free.
Well,
you
I mean,
push it out in group
you
policy.
Have to be a Windows shop.
Yeah.
At some level.
Right,
but
right. It won't
so
help
it's
you
not
if you're
quote
on
unquote.
Macs.
Right. It's a free feature within. Right.
Yep. And you can push it out in group policy. You can
yep.
schedule it to get, you know, regularly in a. You could even put it in your gold image.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For when systems get set up.
That's true.
We use it here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I have a Windows machine and
yep.
there it is running. Yeah. So, like, if you have Windows 8 and before, like, a lot of this has been built into Windows 10,
mm-hmm.
but it's always the case. Your older systems are always the ones that are compromised
right.
on the network. So,
yeah.
if you have anything Windows 8 or before, you should have this installed. It's free. It every like once a year you hear that ran into some issues on machines and it happens, but the benefits are so high. It makes
right.
it makes it much harder to run an exploit on a Windows machine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and just like the NetBIOS one, what you were talking about was the ability to actually see which machines have that and which don't.
Yeah.
Overall on your and so going back to the visibility part, using the data that you have, all of those types of things. And, of course, you got your Roadhouse.
Right. Roadhouse.
Yeah, pop culture reference into the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Emmett.
Yeah. Emmett, Emmett.
It's
yeah.
not Emmett, but it's Emmett. Exactly. Awesome.
Roadhouse, such an undervalued movie. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it's
properly
valued.
Okay.
Like, I think it's for what it is, I think it's exactly how the respect it deserves.
Like a phenomenal B-movie.
Right. Right, exactly. Yeah, if it's on like TBS, I will sit down and watch
yeah.
it like every single time. So, all right, so there's that. So we talked a little bit about detection, and we're going to, like I said, we're going to be kind of doing this throughout the month. What's the next topic?
Next time around?
Yeah. Lure the people in, man.
A little bit more.
Lure them in. It's called foreshadowing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, that's how you do it.
Exactly.
A little bit more detection, but this time custom alerts and building them or detections that probably aren't relevant to another org.
Mm-hmm.
What your team specifically really wants to hear about this. It's a priority for your org to
yeah.
know that this type of action is happening. But also sometimes it's a transient thing. Like, oh, in the next month, I want to know when anybody runs the following application because it's vulnerable.
Right.
And the example I used in a recent video we're going to put in the blog was the Nine application. So we
mm-hmm.
just had a disclosure at Rapid7 that you could man in the middle the Nine application on phones
right.
to receive email. And that's, you know, so if you want to know if anybody in the org is connecting using
yeah.
that application, you can write a quick custom alert and see when something connects to Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
It's using that. And it's, hey, you
right.
need to disable it. You can possibly block it depending on what you have for your mobile devices internally.
So would you call that custom alert an analytic?
Well, it's analyzing the data. The connection.
Asking a question of the
it's
data, right? We come back around. All right. Well, until next time. Pew pew.